As we turn our eyes to you. Amen. Can you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament? I'm going to read a few verses, Leviticus and chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. Leviticus in the Old Testament. It's one of those books that there's lots of religious procedures and laws and ordinances. And it can be, some of the Old Testament books can be quite heavy going as you work through them. But Leviticus chapter 24, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. In fact, I'll read on to verse 9. Verses 1 to 9. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 to 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to keep the lamps burning continually. This is the lampstand that stands in the tabernacle, in front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation. Aaron and the priests must tend the lamps on the pure gold lampstand continually in the Lord's presence. You must bake 12 loaves of bread from choice flour, using 4 quarts of flour for each loaf. Place the bread before the Lord on the pure gold table, and arrange the loaves in 2 rows with 6 loaves in each row. Put some frankincense near each row to serve as a representative offering, a special gift presented to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, this bread must be laid out before the Lord. The bread is to be received from the people of Israel as a requirement of the eternal covenant. The loaves of bread will belong to Aaron and his descendants, who must eat them in a sacred place, for they are most holy. It is the permanent right of the priest to claim this portion of the special gifts presented to the Lord." Father, as we just turn to your word this morning, Lord, we lift our eyes to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are revealed in this precious word. And so, Father, as we look at your word this morning, may we see Jesus. May we see Jesus as we spend time in your presence. Father, we ask it in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yesterday we had an Alpha Day, or a half Alpha Day, here in the church. We've been running an Alpha course, and We had a day where we had a meal together. There's 2 Alpha groups running, and so we met here in the church and went through a couple of the Alpha sessions and shared a few things. And as we were chatting together, I think it was Cassandra and Jane said that they had previously worked in supermarket bakeries, and how it was that when you're going into work, albeit early in the morning, there was a smell of fresh bread being prepared, and how appetizing that was, you know, as the ovens were warmed up and the bread was put in. There's that lovely smell of fresh bread, and the aroma that comes from that, it really makes your mouth water. I know Daphne lived next door to a bakery, wasn't it? Yeah, for many years in Tongham, and you said the same thing. You could smell the freshly bread baked, not to mention the cakes and the pastries. But it was lovely, that lovely fresh bread. And I remember some years ago, we went on holiday to Switzerland, and we had a group of us, we had a couple of chalets just outside the village of, I think it was Adelboden in Switzerland. And we'd walk into the village in the morning, about 15, 20 minutes walk. And as we came into the village, you could smell, in the 2 or 3 coffee shops, you could smell the fresh bread and the coffee. It was lovely. I mean, the coffee was very bitter, but the smell of bread was really, really lovely, very appetizing. Well, in the tabernacle, there was no coffee, but Moses was commanded to have bread baked for every Sabbath day. The Israelites, as you know, had been led out of captivity in Egypt, and they were beginning a new life with God. And Moses had been given certain instructions to pass on to the Jewish people about how they should live and how they should worship. God is a holy God, and it was important that the people came to him with proper reverence and proper respect. And they came in a right way with the right attitude. And so they built a portable place of worship called the tabernacle. As you know, it was a very elaborate tent, effectively. But it was beautifully fitted out and beautifully decorated out. There was gold and silver. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And there they would worship God. That would be the place where God would speak to them from the tabernacle. And the tabernacle could be erected and taken down quite quickly, because God was going to lead the people through that wilderness, and so they had to be ready to move at a moment's notice. Sometimes they stayed a day or 2 days in a place, other times they stayed months, and they just had to be prepared that when God moved, they moved. And so it was the duty of the priests and the Levites to make preparation and to be ready to serve God in the tabernacle, and to they all had their roles to play, to taking down the tabernacle, the things they were going to be carrying, how they would put it up, and all of that. That was all very carefully observed. And the tabernacle was the place where God would meet with them and they could worship him. That was the appointed place. And there were many things in the tabernacle. There were certain items of furniture, candelabra, and various things that were important in the worship that God had ordained Moses and the people to make. And among these ornaments was a table overlaid with gold, on which was placed 12 loaves of bread. And amongst the 12 loaves of bread, there were two rows, 6 loaves of bread in each row. And in between the rows was a bowl or a container. And in that container, there was some frankincense. And that frankincense was offered up as a memorial by fire to the Lord. And this speaks of the 12 loaves of bread, speaks of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God was illustrating to the people, this is my covenant with you. These 12 loaves of bread were placed in the tabernacle where God's presence was. And God was saying, you're in that covenant place with me, here in my sacred temple, in my place, in my tabernacle. And I can see you, and I know you're here. This represents the Jewish people and the covenant that I've made with them. And so it was very important that the priests would do this, and the bread was freshly baked on a regular basis. And then the frankincense was placed in the rows to be offered up as a memorial to God. And the frankincense was one of the ingredients of the holy anointing oil, which was only to be used for worship to God. It wasn't to be used in any other sense, only to be used in worship for God. And we know that Jesus, when he was born, he was presented with frankincense at his birth, symbolizing a very special occasion, that high priestly offering and anointing upon his life, and indicating that Jesus was the coming Messiah, although many at the time didn't recognize it. Nevertheless, it was laid out there. And this bread was known as the showbread, or I think in the old King James Version it was called shewbread, but it was showbread. And in Hebrew, it's called the bread of the presence, or lahem hapanim, the bread of the presence, or the bread of the face, as it was set before the presence of God. And it was right there. That bread was right there in the very presence of God. And you may know that the word Bethlehem, means house of bread. And it's significant, isn't it, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem as God's provision, the bread of life, the bread of life. And there was this bread in the very presence of God. And so here, probably 12 or 1300 years before Jesus came into this world, God is revealing his plan and his purpose in Jesus, who is the very bread of life. And one of the songs we sang talked about inviting us to come and taste the living bread. So the placement of frankincense along with this bread of the face, shows us two things, really. It's a fragrant offering to the Lord, along with prayers and worship and devotion of the Israelites. And it sanctified the bread, setting it apart as holy and dedicated. And so it represents that the frankincense, which the priests offered as a gift to God, that represented the prayers and worship and adoration of the people, as that fragrance offered up to God. And I wonder, don't know exactly how it was laid out, but there were two rows with the bread there. And do you know, I guess that as the priests offered up the frankincense, and they would set fire to it so it would burn, and the smoke of the frankincense would rise up in the temple. And I guess even the bread itself was fragranced with the frankincense. I don't know. If you have bread or food in a smoky atmosphere, sometimes you get that smoky flavor, don't you? And I guess even the bread itself had that fragrance of frankincense in it, intermingled with the bread. So the fragrant smoke rising up is like the prayers of the faithful ascending to heaven. In Psalm 41 we read, "May my prayer be set before you like incense, my uplifted hands like the evening offering." And the frankincense with the showbread is also a remembrance. It's that reminder of God's eternal covenant with his people. What did God say? The bread is to be received from the people of Israel as a requirement of the eternal covenant. The loaves of bread will belong to Aaron and his descendants, who must eat them in a most sacred place. And it's something that they had to do every day. Every Sabbath day, this bread must be laid out before the Lord. It was a continual memorial, something which they needed to do, because it was essential to remind the people of their covenant with the living God. And we also need to be continual in our worship and our acknowledgement of his provision. That's something we need to do every day, because it's an eternal covenant. We're in that eternal covenant with God, and we need to keep that every day. So it's important. And if we think about that in relationship to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and then it goes on, "give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. And there are two meanings here. One is our material need. You know, we thank God and we ask him for the food we eat, the places we live in, our material blessings, we thank God for that. But the deeper meaning is our spiritual well-being, our spiritual food, our spiritual necessities. And under the Old Testament covenant, only the priests could eat the showbread. Nobody else was allowed to eat it because it was holy. Worshipping God is a holy business. Under the Old Covenant, you know, you had to bring certain sacrifices. You had to do it in a certain way because God is a holy God. And sometimes we lose sight of that. Our God is a holy God. And how can I say this? We mustn't be too casual about the way we worship. Yes, we come freely. This morning we come without any priests or altar or anything like that. We come and we share together and we worship God. But our God is a holy God, and we need to remember that constantly. He's a holy God. And so under the Old Covenant, only the priest could take part, could have that bread to eat. Because the priests were consecrated in their life and their work, and the tabernacle, and of course later when the temple was built. So they were consecrated for that work, so they could eat of it. And this covenant was a forerunner of what was yet to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, when all believers who trust in him and believe in him can come and feed on that living bread. And that's us today under the new covenant. We all come into the presence of God. We all can feed on that living bread. But our God remains a holy God. And we must always keep that in mind. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, "You are clean," through the word which I have spoken to you. And only dirty feet need to be washed. And so the point that Jesus was making here was that as far as the disciples were concerned, they had trusted in him. And they were clean through the word and the faith and the trust through the Lord Jesus Christ. They were clean. And yes, foot washing was necessary in those days because I've got sandals on today, but our roads are not dusty and grimy like those roads. But in our daily living, our inverted commas, our feet get dirty as we walk in the world. As we take part in the things of the world, as we bump up against things in the world, we hear the language of the world, we sometimes see the sights of the world, we sometimes get involved in the attitudes of the world, and it makes us dirty. It makes us dirty. And so we need regularly to come in and say that prayer, Lord, wash me, cleanse me today, forgive me my sin today. Thank you, Lord, you blessed me yesterday, but today's another day and tomorrow hasn't yet come. Lord, I needed you yesterday, I need you today, and I will surely need you tomorrow. That day hasn't come. So every day we need that cleansing, that washing. Not to be saved again, because we're saved by the precious blood of Jesus. If we belong to him, if we know him as our Savior, then we're part of his family. But we will hear things in the world. We will see things. Sometimes you watch something on television inadvertently and you think, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to know about that. But it leaves a mark, doesn't it? And we can get that daily cleansing. It's so important to have that daily cleansing. Something that we all need on a regular basis. And the frankincense with the showbread reminds us again and again and again that we worship a holy God. And that he is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. That's one of the names of God in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's who he is. And so the death and resurrection of Jesus tells us that he is that eternal provision that sustains and redeems all who will trust in him day by day. And so we say in our prayer, give us today. You know, as a child, I was always taught to say, don't say, give me, say, please, can I have? And yet, when we read the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, give us. And we're not being rude. We're not being greedy. We're not being offensive. What we're saying is openly, Lord, you know who I am. Lord, I don't have to pretend to you. Oh God, give me. Give me today. Lord, I come before you in all humbleness, in all my need, in all urgency. Lord, I can't pretend anything before you. Lord, just give me. Give me that forgiveness. Give me that cleansing. Lord, give me what I need today. Give us today. There's an urgency, isn't there, about that? An immediacy. Give us. Give us. We need it, Lord. You know that we need it. We're so needy, day by day. Give us today. Your presence, Lord, give us. Your mercy, Lord, give us today. Your grace, Lord, give us today. And may we be fed as we come to you, like the priests were able to eat of that holy special bread, reminding them of the covenant that God had made. You know, we feast on the living bread, don't we? We feast on the living bread, the Lord Jesus Christ. His daily presence, with us is an amazing thing. And we need to seek that day by day. And he sustains us in the daily course of life. We've been through some busy experiences with our family over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, sometimes you get tired with the running around and going here and doing there and doing this and rushing around. And so, you know, I was saying, Lord, give me today the strength I need. Give me, Lord, today that cleansing in you. Give me, Lord, your mercy and your grace. Yes, Lord. I'm there at the front of the queue. I'll be elbowing my way to the front of the queue. Lord, give me today. I'll be pushing past Derek and Cassandra. Lord, give me today what I need today. And when we come around the communion table, we didn't share communion today, but we do regularly. When we come around this table, may we find that fellowship as we break bread together, that around the table. Just that fellowship with God. Sometimes we come into his presence and we don't even know what to pray. But we just come into the presence of God and we just sit. Lord, what can I say today? So many things I want to pray for. But Lord, I just need your presence and I just need you, Lord, with me today, your communion with me today. And it's about being in his presence and seeking his presence. And Jesus said, didn't he, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. John chapter 6. And so much of what we see in the Old Testament, Jesus affirms and proclaims in the New. It's all there. It's all there. And so we can feed on that bread of life, the bread of the presence, the bread of the face, as it is called. And so in your daily life, you know, I've been reading through the Psalms. I've just moved into Proverbs now. And as I was reading the Psalms, I've read them many times, and I was praying, Lord, you know, help me to understand more and more of what the psalmist went through. Because some of the Psalms you read, you know, he's up there on the mountaintops and he's, go, go, go. And then a couple of Psalms later, he's in the valley of despair. You know, Lord, I'm a worm. You know, it's all gone wrong. Where are you? Why aren't you listening to me? Lord, I'm in trouble. Come and help me. And then a few more psalms and he's back up again and he's off. And then later on he's back down again. And, you know, the psalmist David and the other psalmist, and they make some fairly bold statements. You know, I will serve you, Lord, with all my heart. I will trust you, Lord. You can count on me. And then a couple of psalms later he said, oh, you know, I've got it wrong again. And I'm saying, Lord, help me to understand what this means in my life. And having gone through a few experiences recently, I've had to say to God, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. Let's do this, you know, let's go for God. And then something comes along and whack. You know, you're thinking, oh Lord, yeah, I've got it wrong again. But let me emphasize again, feed on the bread of the presence. Feed on the bread of his presence, the presence of his face. Seek that presence daily in your life. And when you pray, Lord, give us today, you know, pray it with all the strength in your heart you can muster. Lord, give me today what I need today. Your strength, your hope, your mercy. The first song we sang about, you know, God being the awesome God, uncontainable, unmeasurable, and then it ends up, doesn't it? You know who I am, you know what I like, but you love me the same. You are amazing, God. And let me just encourage you today. He is an amazing God. We serve and worship an amazing God. And seek always that presence day by day to give you strength, because we can't live the Christian life on our own. It's impossible. It's a contradiction. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. We have to have that daily walk with the Lord. Otherwise, it won't work. So be encouraged this morning. You know, if you feel you've been through some tough times, sometimes that's how it is. But hold on in there. Keep walking with God. Keep seeking his presence. He brings us through. He does bring us through to the other side. He's covenanted to do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. That bread of the presence was a testimony, a constant testimony of God's covenant, of God's promise with his people, that I'm with you. I see this covenant. My presence is here with you in that place. And that's the word of God to us today. The Lord Jesus Christ has covenanted with us to bring us through, to deliver us. Albeit the road may be hard at times and tough, but he gives us the victory. So keep on. Keep on. Don't give up and seek. Continue to seek that presence in your daily life. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you because you know us through and through. Oh God, in every part of us, Lord, you know us. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, continue to shape our lives by your love and by your mercy. Lord, continue to build us up. Lord, as individuals, as a church, as families. Oh God, continue that work, that process. Lord, that ongoing process, day by day, week by week, year by year. Lord God, till one day we are presented before you as the finished article. Hallelujah. Lord, that day will come. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.